And thank you so much for joining us for season 2, episode 2 of our Living Leadership series. For those of you who might be new here, my name is Emily Clay, and I am the webinar and podcast producer here in the School of Leadership Studies. And I'm joined today by my co-host, Kelsey Solberg, and our two lovely guests, Rebecca Larson and Devin Smith. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. This season is all about building better communities, and each of our podcasts are actually follow-up conversations to live webinars that air on select Wednesdays each month. And during those webinars, we focus on how each of these topics are applied in relation to workplace environments. And during this podcast time, we focus more heavily on how each topic is applied outside of the workplace, in our personal communities, with our family and friends, etc. So like I said, I'm joined today by my co-host, Kelsey Solberg, and she is going to hop on and tell us a little bit more about her role as Director of Professional and Community Education here in the School of Leadership Studies.
Yes, I am. Hi. So the Office of Professional and Community Education is kind of a new endeavor in the School of Leadership Studies, and what we offer is kind of an organizational development role for organizations. And then we're also trying to do a lot more community engagement work. So working with nonprofits and community leaders to do leadership development in those spaces. So really the idea of bringing leadership education out of higher ed and into spaces throughout the community. So it's exciting to be part of this too.
Yeah. Thank you. And yeah, as you just heard, she's truly the perfect person to have for these conversations. So very excited to have you here this season. I also want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. We have two platinum presenting sponsors this season, Integris Architecture and STCU, and our two bronze sponsors, Canopy Credit Union and Stevens Clay Law Firm. We are so thankful to have you be in support of this series. And it really allows us the opportunity to offer these webinars and podcasts free of charge to our community. So it's a real testament to each of your organizations that you're willing to invest back in our community in this way. So thanks again to each of you. So let's get started. Today, we're going to be talking about intergenerational collaboration, strategies for relationship building. And we're joined by our two guests today, Rebecca Larson and Devin Smith, who you might already be familiar with if you got the chance to view our webinar. They just had a fabulous conversation during the webinar where they talked about this topic in workplace settings and how to deal with different aspects of intergenerational collaboration in the workplace. So you can find that recording for the webinar on our website, gonzaga.edu/webinars, if you're interested. And we can't wait to use this time to follow up on some of the things they touched on during the webinar and also talk about how this topic relates to our lives outside of the workplace. So we're going to talk about how it plays out in relationships and just in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And before I go any further, I'm going to introduce our two guests for those of you who didn't attend the webinar. Rebecca Larson is a senior training specialist here at Gonzaga, providing professional development opportunities to all employees. Rebecca has her master's in community leadership and just started her doctoral work in leadership at Gonzaga. She's a certified professional coach to the International Coaching Federation. She loves her work and balances that with a healthy dose of play, which includes everything from baking to gardening to adventuring in the outdoors. And Rebecca will be co-presenting today with Devin Smith, who graduated from Gonzaga in 2020 with a degree in business administration, marketing, and a minor in leadership studies. Devin now works at Slalom Consulting in Seattle as a consultant. And in both her professional and personal life, she has explored the importance of building and maintaining relationships with people of a variety of backgrounds and ages, and also really values the importance of mentorship, which I feel like I got to see firsthand when you were a work study in SLS. You had such a great relationship with people like Kristen and others in our school throughout your time at GU and going through the CLP program. And lastly, in her free time, she enjoys working out at her local spin studio, cooking new recipes, exploring the beauty of the Pacific Northwest, and cheering on the Zags. So welcome back, you two. We have a lot to get to, but I want to start off by saying great job once again at the webinar. I feel like we could probably talk about this topic for hours, but as we start to switch gears a little and focus on strategies for building relationships outside of the workplace, I think it's worth noting that for a lot of people who are in the workforce, most generational relationships probably do come from your place of work rather than your personal lives outside of family relationships. And it does seem more rare these days that people are actively pursuing or trying to develop intergenerational relationships on a day-to-day basis or during things you're involved in outside of the workplace. I know for myself, if I'm in a group of people, I tend to gravitate towards people my same age, and that seems pretty common among all generations. But I also think it's worth noting that from a very young age, our most important relationships are often intergenerational with parents, grandparents, siblings. And I also feel like personally, one of the most beautiful parts of navigating my 20s has been making such rich connections with people in different generations than myself. There really is so much value to making and pursuing relationships with people in different generations. So I want to start off by asking each of you, what do you think makes intergenerational relationships so valuable, and how have they proven to be valuable in your own lives? Devin, you want to start us off?
Sure, I can go. I feel like I'm just going to sound like a broken record, but like the mentorship aspect, I think that I have experienced and that comes with intergenerational relationships is like such a unique dynamic, because it allows for not only like friendship and fun, but also for like learning and growing and a space to be vulnerable in yourself, but also relate to people and learn from people that you really look up to. Mm-hmm. My like best friend is exactly 10 years older than me. So she's a millennial. I'm a Gen Z, and we're like family friends actually, but she's like my best friend. And it's really cool to be able to call her and be like, hey, I'm going through this thing in my personal life. Can you like help me think through it? And she's close enough in age that she relates and like remembers what it's like to be 24, almost 25, but also is like in such a different life stage. Like she owns a business and is married and like is thinking about having kids and like that kind of thing, that it gives me a really cool kind of like perspective on what the future might look for me. And she's able to help me like figure things out as I go, kind of.
Yeah. What about you, Rebecca?
You know, I have had intergenerational friendships for as long as I can remember, that I have always had connected with people who are older and younger than me. And I think there's just so much of, I think as Devin talked about, just learning from others, but I think keeping an open mindset about just the world at large and what other people's experiences are. And so, like, for example, I have worked with young people a lot in my life. And before I moved up to Spokane, I was volunteered as a high school girls basketball coach for our local high school girls team, just so that I could like have time with with people, I guess, in Gen Z. And to have that connection and to see what their lives are like and what they're experiencing. And then I think also, you know, working with a younger generation, you know, being available to be that mentor or that support where they might not have that. And so, especially with younger generations, that's always been a very predominant part of my mm-hmm. volunteer world, and even part of my work world. So it just, yeah, that you never know what other people are experiencing, right?
Totally. I feel like that both of you touched on that perfectly. It's like so important to take yourself out of the limited scope that is staying within your generation. And there's so much to learn. I just wrote down some notes of like my favorite things about being friends with people that are older or younger than me. And I feel like older friends remind you of what matters in the long run and remind you to be non-judgmental. And they're such good advice givers to have in your life. Whereas younger friends remind you of what you've grown through and how to enjoy life on a day-to-day basis and that there's time to figure things out. So those are kind of like my favorite things that I've learned. And I feel like having those different kinds of friendships are just so beneficial for you in the long run. So thank you both for chatting about that. Any thoughts on this, Kelsey?
Yeah, I liked what Devin said about like the having a friend who's who's like close enough in age to where they remember, like they can really empathize in a way, not of just like, I think this is what it was like at that time. Cause I think that can be really challenging. Like I might just have a bad memory, but I coached like eighth grade volleyball, a couple of years ago. And so I had, you know, at the time, probably 12 to 15 years on the girls. And I remember thinking like, gosh, I don't remember what it's like to be that age. And so then required me to be a lot more like curious about them and do a lot more like listening even than sort of advising, because it was just to try to be able to relate. Like it did require a lot of curiosity to be able to do that. But it is so valuable if you do have someone that is close enough, but still has like maybe a little bit more, a little more wisdom from some more years. So, yeah. And you both touched on this in the webinar too, and even in answering that question, but like relationship building is at the foundation of this, right? So that's like, we're talking about it in intergenerational context, but it is still relationship building. And so many of the skills that you've touched on, you know, have to do with that in general. It's like what, just in the practice of building these relationships intergenerationally, like what are you practicing in that has to do with just relationship building in general? Like I'm hearing curiosity, but any other things that you would highlight that are just kind of practices of good relationship building?
Yeah, I think Devin talked earlier about listening. So not just curiosity, but actually listening and trying to have that open mind to what that might be like for other people. So, you know, some pieces around empathy, you know, standing in somebody else's shoes to see what their lives might be like. Boy, what else, Devin, would you think are some skills here?
I was going to say empathy. I think that is really at the forefront of how to build relationships with people that are in such maybe potentially a really different stage of life than you. Like I'm going back to the workplace now, but you know, I have peers at work that I work with every day who have kids, like multiple kids that they have to get out the door to school. And like yesterday I was supposed to have a meeting at 8 a.m. with one of them. And she was like, sorry, like my kids are having a really rough morning. I can't get on this call. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like there is so much that this person who I've built so much respect for, but like in that context of work, is dealing with outside of work. And how can I like empathize with her situation and like brought in my mind, be like, wow, she shows up to work so put together, but like maybe she had the most chaotic morning trying to get her toddlers out of the door, you know?
Really?
Yeah. So I really think empathy.
You know, I think something else that I think about is even just, a relationship, and maybe this doesn't sound like it should be a relationship building kind of skill, but I think this idea of giving and receiving feedback, not just in the workplace, but I have, earlier I mentioned, I have a very close friend. He's 81. We have talked a lot about our generational differences. We've given each other lots of feedback through the years. And that has really made our relationship stronger and deeper, and has just been so good for each of us individually as just as human beings in the world. So I think that feedback piece is a really important part as well.
Totally.
Go ahead. That I think is huge. Like, I feel like I'm at this really interesting point in my personal life with my family where I'm like really individuating from them in like a healthy way, if that makes sense, where I'm like really close with them and I love my parents and we have a very tight knit relationship. But I'm also at this weird like turning point where I'm like, okay, I'm my own adult now, making my own decisions, and I need to be able to like operate kind of on my own. And my friend that I was talking about earlier, she has been a really amazing mentor and friend to me and like been able to help me through some of those like difficult conversations or times with my family where she's like, hey, like in this situation, like you messed up. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like I was referring back to my like child self, you know? But like hearing that and like having that relationship founded on like respect and love and like allows me to hear that and not take it like take it personally, but not take it in like a negative way and take it in a way of like, okay, this is an area of growth. If that makes sense.
It's funny. This was in our last podcast episode that we did, the theme was around courageous conversations or difficult conversations. And Kamisha Little, who's one of our guests, had talked about, she's like, I asked for feedback in my personal life. So I texted, I will text my mom and say like, hey, how good of a daughter do you think I'd be? Like, but she's like asking for this feedback from her family. And that had me thinking, scale one like, she like sends out a survey. But it just had me thinking like, gosh, I like, that's, how do you start that? You know, like if you've had these relationships for so long, like you think about your parents are a great example, Devin, and like that giving and receiving of feedback is sort of like, who's kind of like taking the first, you know, how do you kind of take the first step in that or kind of bring that into a relationship that might already exist? Yeah. I'd just be curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah. That's a tough one, Kelsey, when you already have sort of norms of how you are with one another. Mm-hmm. I think it takes some courage to say, hey, I want to add this to our repertoire of how we connect. And this is why it's important to me to do this. I imagine that they're given some relationships, given some friendships or however they show up. There might be people who are not willing to do that, right? That right. is not a part of the relationship that they want to grow with you. And so, you know, I think just being open to that possibility as well. But I think giving the other person the opportunity to say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And how are we going to make this work is a good starting point.
Totally. And it can be really difficult to get to the point of vulnerability like that with some friendships or relationships that you have. One thing that kind of made me think about is people's love languages and like how you can, just kind of like hone in on that and make sure that you're aware of that. And I don't think that's oftentimes not too vulnerable of a question to ask people of like what they prefer in terms of like acts of service or words of affirmation or whatever it may be. And like making sure that you're giving that to your friends and also asking them like what they need from you as a friend, especially, you know, as they go through like difficult times and things like that. I think it's just important to be asking those questions in relationships that you want to be building, and especially in a different generational friendships that you might have. I think that it might even be a little bit harder to hone in on that without asking. So just being open about that and knowing like what types of love people want to receive from you in relationships, I think is a good way to go about that conversation sometimes.
I love that.
You know, there's something I've thought about in terms of feedback as well, Kelsey, that I'm reflecting on right now. And that is, I've had feedback for some people in older generations, whether it's baby boomers or traditionalists. And some of my feedback, I actually think about, like, is this person going to change? Yeah. Like, this person is like 70 or 80 or whatever. And if I give them feedback and I want them to change in any way, is that ever really going to happen? Or are they at this point in life and they are going to live their lives as they're living it? And so I even temper a little bit of my feedback, I think, with different generations differently, based on how much I see them in a growth mindset and like what the actual feedback is. So something else just to consider.
Yeah, that's a great addition. So at the end of, as we were kind of wrapping up, and this was brought up or surfaced through one of the questions that was asked, but Rebecca, you touched a little bit on ageism, and I think we wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So not only in the context of the workplace, but also just in general. And so we're defining ageism as a prejudice or discrimination against people based on their age. So pretty simple. But what are some examples from both of you of how you think this kind of phenomenon might affect folks in your generation or what you know about other generations, just in the community in general?
I feel like I'll start with myself and then how I've seen it kind of affect others. But I think it's funny because I don't necessarily know if this is like a example of prejudice of my age, but I think I'm so tempted to go back to the workplace, but I'm going to talk about the
workplace. You can. Part of your world.
Okay. So I feel like at work, I mean, it's obvious that I'm young. Like I present young, I like show up on camera and I'm like, you know, people don't know exactly how old I am, but like I'm young-ish. And part of being a consultant is like building credibility and like coming across pretty credible and reputable. And so sometimes I feel like I need to like put on my game face, if you will, in order to come across like more experience than I am, maybe. And I've had to really work hard to like do that in an authentic way, because I feel like it's easy to like fake it till you make it and like come across really inauthentic, but I don't like being inauthentic and it feels really uncomfortable for me. And so I think I'm still growing and learning how to do that and like how to admit and like show up with the experience that I have, even though it might not be tens of years, but still like trust in myself that I'm able to have some perspective. And then another work example is I think I get really discouraged by like being associated with number of years of experience. I think like my company is a very values and feedback driven company, and we have like a pretty extensive career framework with gap analysis and skills assessments and all these things. And when I like look at it objectively and compare the feedback I'm receiving to how I'm performing to that skills assessment, I'm like, oh, well, I could go maybe up for a promotion. But then when it comes down to my years of experience, people are like, oh, but you're young. And I'm like, but that's not on the job description. Mm-hmm. So how, like, that is something that I struggle with, because I know I'm young and I know I have a lot to learn, but I also don't like that getting in the way of like my eagerness to grow and mm-hmm. like progress. And I think part of that is just learning how to be patient. Mm-hmm. And like learning that, like, I think it's easy for me to just like pigeonhole myself and be like, oh my gosh, like this is the rest of my career. Like this is make it or break it. And then I'm like, no, Devin, you have so many years. And I think similarly, like that happens in your personal life, right? Like mm-hmm. I have friends who are getting married and like buying houses, and it's at times I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just like so not in that stage of my life. But like, that doesn't mean that I won't get there, if that makes sense.
And I think it's important to realize that that totally goes both ways. Some people are married and pregnant and they're like, oh my gosh, I remember when I didn't have any of these things holding me down. Yeah. I was just free as a bird. And they're probably really jealous of that sometimes too. So I think it's important to, you know, the grass is always greener kind of a mindset.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's also interesting how age can be a really conscious or unconscious roadblock when you're trying to form new relationships, and just having, you know, being able to change that mindset from, I think I put this in the chat during the webinar, but changing it from, I can't relate to that person, to, I've never thought about it like that, or I wonder what that is like. And I think that's a really important, like, new neural pathway to make in your brain, because a lot of times just having a conversation with someone of a different age, it's like, oh, well, like, that's not what's going on in my life. I can't relate to that at all. And there's so much to learn. And, you know, I just think people oftentimes forget to look at it like that. So I'm curious, like, if you have any other ways that you think of that we can kind of like start to change that mindset and that narrative that we kind of have that unconscious bias almost about.
Yeah, I actually... I'll speak to my 80-year-old friend again. When I first became friends with him, I had a lot of people question me about our friendship. Mm-hmm. They thought it was weird. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't see that. But I had a lot of people say that to me, and it there were times that I was like, should it be weird? Like, what's weird about it? And
yeah.
And so I didn't think that, but I heard that from other people, and I had to sort of temper that so that it didn't get in the way of my friendship. And so, so I got to experience what that was like, oh, you're hanging out with this guy who's 25 years your elder. Like, it's bizarre. So I think there's some courage that comes into that, and some integrity around like, this is somebody who I really connect with. We share the same values. I'm learning from him, or having some, you know, we're going biking and we're having a good time on the trail, or with my friend and his wife, like, I have learned so much that I've been able to think about in terms of my parents, right? Like, not that they're parental figures for me, but that, like, oh yeah, these friends have talked to me about legacy and even just like their living will or whatever. And those conversations actually helped me to think about that with my own parents. So I feel more equipped to have those conversations.
Yeah. Interesting. It's almost like you're able to, because with our parents, I mean, we have so much that we're bringing into that relationship, like the history, of course, your entire history to be exact. So like to be able to be like, to separate that a little bit and just think about like a season of life through someone else's eye can like help you relate to your parents in a new way. I think that's really beautiful.
We want to take a moment to give huge thanks to our two presenting sponsors of the Living Leadership Series, STCU and Integris Architecture. At community organizations throughout the Inland Northwest, STCU employees are leading with intentionality and purpose. They are supported by a Spokane-based credit union that provides time off for volunteerism, abundant leadership development opportunities, and tuition reimbursement as part of a generous benefits package. To learn more about joining a team that's here for good, visit STCU.org. A longstanding contributor to Spokane's built environment, Integris Architecture designs buildings that shape the public realm, including schools, libraries, and popular civic spaces like the Podium and the Hive. After recently coming together with YGH Architecture, Integris now has offices in Spokane, Seattle, and Portland, where they continue to extend their impact throughout the Pacific Northwest, building better communities and supporting environmental and social justice in their work and office cultures.
I think I would love to switch gears a little bit and start talking about how to begin friendships with people of different generations. And I mean, I was thinking about it when you were talking about your best friend of 10 years, or that's 10 years older than you, Devin. Like, that's amazing that you have that relationship. And like, for people that don't have a relationship like that, how can you go about starting to form a relationship like that? I know that you said that was a family friend of yours, but I would love to hear from both of you if you have any real life examples of how this maybe has happened to you throughout your life. How did you befriend your 80-year-old friend? Like, how did this happen? And what are some of the, you know, things that you might, that you want to let other people know about how to start being intentional about making that happen? I think it can be hard outside of the workplace too. So, I'm curious to learn about how that happened, or if you have any other relationships that you could touch on.
You can't just walk up to someone and be like,
want to be my friend? Only it was that easy.
I was just going to say, I'm like, this is where we would insert the ad for the new app that is like for intergenerational friendships. The podcast today is sponsored by.
It's so funny because I don't know if I actually like know, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like it happened really naturally. And I mean, we have Rissa is her name. She and I have like years of, like, she's known me since I was a baby, and our moms were best friends. And like our dads work together. Like, it, the history goes on way far back. But I think like I didn't have much of a relationship with her, like, probably like 10 years ago now. And I remember like hearing stories of her and like hearing that she was like involved in my life when I was like a baby, you know? And then we went to her wedding actually. And at that point, like her wedding, it was her wedding, so she was super busy. But I was like, I looked up to her in so many ways. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, she's so beautiful. She's so happy. Like, look at all of her friends. Like, I just almost like idolized her and was like this like little girl. I mean, I was like 15, but I was like, felt like a little girl just being like, wow, like I feel like I'm seeing what my future could be, kind of. And then we went to, she's like a producer of films. So we went to like a short film show that she was putting on, and it was like a really, really raw, vulnerable film about her and her family. And it was, I remember having a conversation with her and her dad after we saw the film, and it was like the first time I think I had felt like true, authentic, vulnerable, like discussion outside of my immediate family. And I remember being so like moved by it and like refreshed by like the opportunity to have that kind of conversation with like somebody that I didn't see in my own house every day. And from there, like, I don't know if it was like, I got to go down and visit her. She lived in Oregon. So I would like go visit them a few times a year. But now it just like grew really naturally from that. But I think it was like something innately in like myself and my values and like what I value as a person that drew me to her, and that kind of like deeper connection that we were able to be like, oh wow, there's like we are like soul sisters, like there's like something else going on and like another universe here that connects us beyond just like our family friendship. Yeah. So that's not a really clear answer of how to go about finding relationships.
Yeah. I mean, that aspect of, I mean, that sounds like your closer relationships happened because of that like instance of being able to feel so vulnerable with that person. So I think it's a testament to the fact that, you know, if you feel like you can be, you should be vulnerable with the people around you, you know? So yeah. It's hard, but easier said than done for sure.
Have you told her this?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we've talked about it a ton. Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm like, we should send her this recording because that was
really well. Probably will.
I think that there are more ways that you can get in touch with people also through like volunteering, right? Mm-hmm. In your community. Getting on a board of directors or volunteering with a youth serving organization, like depending on where you want to be, who you want to be connecting with. I think that there's a lot of ways to connect with folks in that way. Since I recently moved here, I'm in this space of making new friends in Spokane. And, you know, I come from where I just came from was a very rural community, and I knew my neighbors. And so here I'm reaching out to know my neighbors. And, you know, the two people on either side of us are, I'm pretty sure they're millennials. And the people across the street are definitely traditionalists. And so, you know, there's other folks down the street that we're trying to connect with who are baby boomers. So I think that there's ways to, even just in your own neighborhood, to reach out more locally, mm-hmm. to say, hey, I live next door and would you like to connect? And just, we all have, we're all busy, right? Doesn't matter what generation you're from. Everybody can say that they're busy.
Yeah.
And so I think part of what this really takes is just taking the time to Kelsey, to your point, to be curious, to say hello, to understand what other people are living, what their experiences are. And so, so it's really making a priority in our lives to say, I would like this to be a part of how I connect with other people, and then just making it happen.
I think there's also like a lot of value in those like smaller interactions that build up over time. So like, it's like saying hello, for example. I go to a spin studio. It's like a mile and a half away from my house. And I've been going for like a year and a half, and I have gotten to know people there that have been going there for like years and years and years, literally just through saying hello. And then one day we ride next to each other in a class, and then you're like, oh, hey, that was so fun riding with you. And then like, we're messaging each other on Instagram saying, oh, what bike are you on tomorrow? Let's ride next to each other. So it can like really build over time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's not necessarily as much instant gratification, but that sometimes makes it even better.
Yeah. And that kind of like takes the pressure off too. I think it's, when you're in a space of like moving somewhere new or really trying to make new friends, I feel like it can feel like it's never going to happen because it's like, can be a slow process like that. So that is, I think, a really, really good point to remember is like, you know, just because it's happening slow doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Just, you know, chipping away at relationships like that can be really impactful in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rebecca, what you said about like thinking about volunteering or like kind of finding, and even thinking about our neighborhoods too. I mean, we've sort of moved away from like that hyper localized feel where you're like spending time and getting to know your neighbors and that's kind of your community. I mean, technology has certainly expanded how we think about community, quote unquote, but I think that there's something really unique and special about like living in the same place as people. And so using that as a connection point. And then I think just anything where you can like get behind a shared purpose. So like it, like that's spinning. Like if you're a spin studio, like your shared purpose is to be there and to sweat and to like get your workout in. And that's something like that's a shared experience that you have. And that can be that connection. It can also be like a shared mission if you're on the board of directors for a nonprofit, like you said. So I think that's where for me, like I, you know, and we were thinking about this and I was reflecting on my own kind of intergenerational friendships. And I the one that's top of mind was because she was actually just visiting here. Her and I met in a master's program and have now continued to do like projects together. And she actually came to do some storytelling, some healing through storytelling workshops for us. But to be able for us to kind of co-create that together has been so neat. And I've learned so much just through my relationship with her, through witnessing her. And I think we've been able to kind of learn from each other in so many ways, but it was really all around like this shared purpose, or kind of a shared experience. And then that just opened the door for a really, really beautiful friendship too.
Kelsey, you remind me that as you're connecting with new people, that the way you connect might also, you might not need to get out of your box for that, right? Like for example, when I was the assistant basketball coach in this small town, I had to get on Snapchat for the first time because that's how young people were communicating with one another. And like now I get to use Snapchat with all of my nieces and like that's how we communicate. And if I wasn't on Snapchat, I wouldn't be connecting with them as much as I do. Not that it's like every day or anything, but it's more than what I was before I was even just using that one platform. And so there's also how can I get out of my comfort zone? Or how do I get out of the, like, I'm going to email you or I'm going to call you or, you know, whatever, to maintain those relationships to say, okay, I will like, what's the new Snapchat? What do I need to download? How do I need to get it out? Right. I loved several years ago, my niece, she's like 23 right now. We sat on my couch in my house and she made me a Bitmoji that I love. And I think that's the silliest thing ever, but like, it was a way for us to connect that I was like, great, whatever. So I would have never done that by myself. Like what a fun way to connect with somebody through different communication platforms too. Yeah.
That's so cute. I feel like leads into one of the questions that the audience member wrote to us that we didn't get to was just surrounding trust and how to create trust among relationships. And I think that's such a testament to that question, just like being open to getting out of your comfort zone and diving into something that might be more associated with a different generation, and not being afraid to do that. So on that note, are there any other ways that you would recommend creating trust in those types of relationships and how we can do that?
I think Devin has spoken a lot to vulnerability. And so I think that that's a big piece is and I think part of that vulnerability, especially as in older generations, is showing that you make mistakes and that you're not, that everybody is fallible. And that to me, I think that is really important for younger generations to see and to witness. Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that. I think whether that's personal or professional, like sharing those slip ups or mistakes will, one, show that you're human, but also two, like hopefully help the other person learn from those mistakes. I also think being trustworthy, like being confidential, if it's a time for confidentiality, I mean, that can only go so far in certain situations, and that goes both ways too. Like I have had really awesome working relationships with people that like we can grapple hard questions about our work and be like, is this like worth it? You know, like what are we doing? But like that kind of stays within the walls of that conversation. And I think allows, and same with personal life, right? Like being able to speak confidently with someone and like know that they'll keep that and hold it close to them builds that trust and also like builds a stronger relationship when you're not talking confidentially, because you have that kind of like deeper connection, if that makes sense. Not that everything needs to be a secret, but sometimes things are personal, you know?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
I would add one more thing to this space of building trust. And that I think is really around authenticity and how do we each of us show up in our authentic self? And so mm-hmm. I know that when I hang out with younger generations, the term cool isn't cool, but I'm not going to use any other word besides cool. Like I'm going to start off as the dorky older person because I say, oh, that's really cool, right? Whatever the latest lingo is, if I start using that, I'm going to get eye rolls. They're going to be like, who are you, lady? Like, right? And so I need to show up with whoever I am, right? Like my older friend, he has donned his suspenders. He wears these like big white socks with sandals. Like he's not afraid to be who he is. And I just adore that about him, that he's not trying to be something that he's not. So there's so much to just say about who are you and just accepting one another for how you show up in the world.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I feel like especially as you age, like it can be so tempting to try to want to fit in with the younger generation. I feel like even as I've become like 29 years old, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so not cool anymore. Like I do not know what's going on with like these 22, 23 year olds anymore. And I'm only 29. So, but it's like, it's okay. It's okay. You don't need to like continue to like try to be that. And I think it's, yeah, just as important to connect with people on that level. So
it'll be so much easier to connect if you are being authentic, right? I mean,
100%. Yeah.
So much more of an invitation. Mm-hmm. So our last question before we get into our fun little rapid fire at the end. So our theme for this year's series is around building better communities. And so as we think about that, as kind of the goal, how do you both think that, that intergenerational collaboration allows for that? How do you think that improves our communities?
The first thing that comes to my mind is it improves our perspective, it widens our perspectives. So, and we're able with a broader perspective, like our world just gets bigger and we're able to show up more like genuine and empathetic to situations because, you know, if I'm only surrounding myself with people that are similar to me in similar generation, how will I ever understand like what Rebecca's life is like, who's part of a different generation. And I think like a lot of conflict comes when there's lack of understanding of other sides. Yeah. What do you think, Rebecca?
That's a great point. I'm thinking about what you're thinking, what you're sharing. I think other ways that it really connects with community, Kelsey, you mentioned earlier, our ideas of what community are have changed. And, but we still need to be in community with one another. And so if we are not taking care of our elders, if we're not raising children as a village, you know, like there's a piece of how each generation is so important to the whole, you know, that of how we come together as a society. So that's very big picture, but I think that we all contribute in a specific way and we all have something to offer that makes our community what it is and makes it whole. And so if we didn't have our elder generations, what would that be like for us to not have that history and experience that we get to tap into? If we didn't have people in the middle working, if we didn't have our young people who were, you know, showing us wonder and what a future could be, like, what would that do for our future dreams and visions? So I think there's so much that we each contribute to creating our communities.
Thank you. That was a beautiful way to end us off today, I think. Well, we have some rapid fire questions that we like to end each podcast with. They're just like fun, this or that. We ask that you answer as quickly as you can, and you can both answer at the same time. So I'm just going to read them off, and then I'll have one little question at the end to really like wrap us up for the day. So here we go. Are we all ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Dogs. Cats.
Ooh.
Complex. <Okay. laughs>
Salsa or guac?
Guac.
Salsa.
Oh my gosh. Early bird or night owl?
Neither.
I really want to be
from like 10 to 5.
I really want to be
exactly what someone said last time.
I want to be an early bird, but it's easier said than done. Is what
yeah. Okay. Okay, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Oh. Mmm.
You can say both if you need to.
Oh.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Okay, work from home or work in the office?
Ooh. Mixed? Work from the office.
Mixed. I like mixed.
Yeah, too. I would do mixed.
Fame or fortune?
Ooh, neither.
Yeah.
Value.
It depends on like, for what. You know?
We're not following your rules, Emily.
I like it.
That's okay. I'll forgive you. Okay. Last question, just to end things off today. I would love to know what is energizing you both right now. What's making you feel most energized just in life?
You know, I would have to say that my work is. I am a year plus into a new position, and I am really feeling energized by the decision I made to move into this position. And it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
Good. So glad to hear that. What about you, Devin?
I would say I have some travel coming up and I'm really excited about it. I get to go see my brother in New York and go on a ski trip with my boyfriend's family. So just some good family time exploring new places, which would be really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So good.
Well, thank you both so much for being willing to join us and do this series with us. We feel so grateful that you were able to come and do this. And I feel like, speaking for myself, but also for others that I've already heard from after the webinar, we learned so much from you. And I feel like so much actionable steps that we can really start implementing in our workplaces and in our personal lives. So thank you both for being here. And then just for the people, before we wrap up, next time we will be talking about forgiveness as a relationship building tool. And that webinar will air on December 7th at 12 p.m. PST. You can register at gonzaga.edu/webinars. And you can find this podcast, or I'm sorry, that webinar recording and podcast on that same site, gonzaga.edu/webinars as well. So stay tuned for all of that. And thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to see you next time.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Thank you, Belle.
Kelsey.
Thank you so much.